This week on Huckabee, Texas Congressman Pat Ballot, syndicated columnist Rod Hart, laugh out loud with comedian Kayvon, plus music from Ali Colleen. That's Trey Corley and the Music City Connection. And I'm your announcer, Keith Bilbrey. And now, here's Mike Huckabee!
Welcome, everybody. Okay, the word for tonight is the word never, as in for all time, something not happening. And you hear some folks even say, well, I never. You know, that's Southern speak for this is crazy, unbelievable, unheard of. Kind of like Southern speak for bless your heart, same thing. So there are some things I never thought I would see in my lifetime. And I'm not talking about owning a phone that gives me more computing power in my hand than the lunar module had when it sat down on the surface of the moon, or being able to watch more than three channels in black and white on TV. No, here are some things I never thought I'd see. Number one, a Supreme Court justice stating in court her concern that the government might not be able to moderate speech. In other words, control the speech that the government only wants us to hear. You know, the First Amendment literally begins with the words, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And yet, Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson lamented that the First Amendment would make it hard for the government to make a law to actually abridge the freedom of speech. Of course, she is the same justice who, in her confirmation hearings, said this.
Can you provide a definition for the word woman?
Can I provide a definition?
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah.
I can't.
You can't?
Not in okay. This context. So I'm not a biologist.
I'm not a biologist. I don't know what a woman is. God help us all, folks. She's on the Supreme Court. Number two, I never thought that it would be easy for a gang member to illegally enter our country through an uncontrolled border than it would be for a taxpaying citizen to board an airplane. Number three, I never thought that a White House senior official would be arrested, tried, and sent to prison for believing and practicing the principle of separation of powers. Yet Peter Navarro, a 74-year-old college professor who has been a guest on our show, was forced to report to prison this week for refusing to appear before the kangaroo court of the sham January 6th committee as he invoked the same principle in effect since the time of George Washington. Number four, I never thought that a former president and prominent New York businessman would be put on trial for taking out a bank loan for real estate that was paid back in full and on time, and in which every single party involved in the transaction made money, harmed no one, employed thousands in good-paying jobs, and in which not even the bank was unhappy. Oh, it was all done because a highly partisan New York attorney general carried out her campaign promise to destroy Donald Trump. A promise made before she was even elected and before she could even identify the crime, and put in a court with a joke of a judge who hammed it up for the TV cameras like he was auditioning to replace Judge Judy. I never thought, this is number five, I never thought that the same former president would have his home raided and ransacked by government that is owned by his political opponent in order to find presidential papers and even rifle through the former First Lady's closets just to find documents that, as president, he had the right to possess. But the current president was completely let off the hook for possessing and carelessly storing 30 years worth of classified documents that as a senator and a vice president, he did not have the right to possess. And there was no charges filed, no raid of Hillary Clinton, who had a secret server and government documents that she illegally destroyed. Number six, I never thought that America would ever surrender to a terrorist group like the Taliban when they abruptly abandon Afghanistan and leave $85 billion worth of aircraft and military equipment and supplies, as well as leaving behind thousands of Americans who were left to fend for themselves. Number seven, I never thought that a prominent U.S. senator would interfere in the politics of a foreign country who happens to be our closest ally, and that senator would call for the ouster of the prime minister of that country in the middle of a war in which they're fighting for their lives. Now, I never thought I'd see such things, but I have. And if we don't have some serious course corrections, and if we don't change directions in this country, our children and our grandchildren will experience a never of their own. They will never know the magnificent America that I've been privileged to live in. And we can never let that happen. My first guest wears many hats. He has been a businessman, an Air Force officer, world marathoner, and Notre Dame football player. But today, he serves Texas' 4th Congressional District as a Republican. I want you to welcome back to the show Congressman Pat Fallon. Congressman, it's great having you back. And what a week you've had in Congress, huh?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, sometimes the stuff that you guys are dealing with, and one of the things has been this explosive hearing with Tony Bobulinski and other people who are talking about the mountain of evidence with Joe Biden and his family. Was there something in particular this week that you thought was a startling revelation?
Well, you know, Governor, the folks that Hunter Biden worked with are all coming out. It's as you said, mounting evidence. It's not only that, it's the whistleblowers, it's his former friends, his former business partners, the bank records themselves. They can't account for how they got $24 million of illicit foreign cash, and what did the Bidens do? What service did they provide? Yeah. And I thought, I sat in on the 7.5 hours of the Hunter Biden deposition. I didn't miss a peep of it. And as it began, Eric Swalwell, you know, I get nauseous just saying that name. He stood up and he said he demanded that we release the transcripts within 24 hours. We're going to do that anyway, by the way. And so we finally sat down and we assured him that was already juiced into the agreement we had. And then he snarkily said, well, the transcripts, are they going to be in Russian or English? And so I stood up and I looked at him. I said, for you, Chinese.
Oh. Because he had the relationship with a Chinese spy, for heaven's sake.
A Chinese spy.
Oh,
that, that suddenly magically left the country just in time not to get nabbed by the FBI. So,
you know, it was fascinating, though. The Democrats would hear the testimony, and then they would immediately turn and pretend that what they heard they didn't hear, and they heard something else. And it was just shocking. When Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC.
Do you feel nauseous now, too, by the way?
I do. I'm going to have to take some medication tonight, I'm pretty sure. But when she was sitting there and she asked Bobulinski, well, what crimes did Joe Biden commit? And he started listing
off. He listened.
And then she turned around and said, okay, so there were no crimes. I was like, what did he just say?
You know, there's a pattern here. And a lot of folks, we've been investigating this for a year and a half now almost. Here's a pattern. Yelena Baterina, a Russian oligarch, gives Hunter Biden and his associates $3.5 million. She then magically has dinner with Joe Biden, the sitting vice president. And then when he becomes president and sanctions Russian oligarchs, she doesn't get sanctioned. Things that make you go, hmm. Kenezh Rajakev, a fellow from, I believe it's Kazakhstan, wired $142,300 to Hunter Biden's business associate, who then bought Hunter Biden a Porsche that cost $142,300.
What a coincidence.
Yeah, and Devin Archer, his business associate, can't even, he didn't, we asked him, what was that money for? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I've never got $142,300. I didn't know why I got it. Is there cushions in the couch? I mean, where? And then there was Vadim Pazarsky, the fellow that one of the executives in Burisma. They started to pay Hunter Biden $1 million a year, a Ukrainian energy company, because his father, as vice president, under his portfolio responsibility, had Ukraine. And then his dad got Viktor Shokin, who was the prosecutor general, fired, who was investigating Hunter Biden's boss. And he bragged about it.
Yeah,
it's a pattern. Oh, and Vadim Pazarsky also had dinner with Joe Biden when he was sitting vice president. See the pattern? Give Hunter money, get access to the president, get what you want.
You know, even prominent Democrats, but fair people, people mm-hmm. like Jonathan Turley, law professor at George Washington University, he's been appalled by what he's seen. Mm-hmm. But I'm shocked that there are not more people who just objectively look at some of these records, some of these testimonies, and still end up with a conclusion, I see nothing here. Everything looks good to me.
Yeah, there's no smoke. There's a lot of smoke. There's so much smoke that, you know, you wouldn't be able to see through it. Most people in their entire lives will not have a suspicious activity report filed by financial institutions uh-huh. on them. The Biden family has had 170 of them. Think about that.
Yeah.
Now, why? And then they started to claim, I've never talked to any of my son's business associates. And then we find out that actually you've met, you've gone golfing with them, you've given them tours of the White House, you've had dinner with them, you've hosted parties that they've attended, and you even gave Jonathan Lee's son or a child a college recommendation. Then he says, well, I never benefited from it. I didn't really know what was going on. Well, no, Hunter now admitted that he has put you on dozens of speakerphone calls with his business associates. And he said, well, I didn't get any money from it. Then we found $200,000 that Jim Biden, his brother, gave to him. He said it was for a loan repayment, but he can't produce the documents of the original loan.
Are no taxes paid for the
Correct.
Income received. You know, chumps like us end up paying taxes for the money that we make. We should have been a Biden.
Do you pay your fair share?
Yeah, does he say that? The fair share. Hey, we're going to be back with more, talking with Congressman Pat Fallon. And while we wait to come back to do that, Keith is going to fill us in on all the other stuff we have coming up on the show.
Well, still to come, syndicated columnist Ron Hart joins Mike at the desk. And be sure to stick around for the sweet country sounds of Allie Colleen, right here on Huckabee. MikeHuckabee.com and sign up for his free newsletter and follow @GovMikeHuckabee on X.
We are enjoying the music of Happy Days here in the theater. I'm just surprised that most of this audience didn't get up and dance and act like it was 1957. You know why they didn't?
Why is that?
They've all had hip replacements. That's why. They can't do it. No way they were going to do that and risk being in orthopedics for the next 7 weeks. So, no. Okay, I want to dig back in. This has been a pretty monumental week. And one of the things that has happened, not only the public hearings, but there have also been some going-ons behind the scenes. One of the things, it seems like that some of your Republican colleagues are trying to get rid of Speaker Mike Johnson. He's barely been there a few weeks. I don't get this. What's up with that?
Okay, he's an incredible member of Congress. He's a great man. He's got the character. I told him, you have the character and greatness of Ronald Reagan. You're just shorter.
I'm sure you love that, of course. Yeah.
He really is. And I helped get him elected speaker because I knew he was the one person that could take us out of the mire.
Yeah.
And he eventually got every single Republican voted for him, by the way.
Yeah.
And so he's navigating through a very difficult time because the Democrats know that if we shut down the federal government, which most conservatives say, fine, leave me alone.
Yeah.
You know, and it's better than we're not there. We're not creating the mischief. But if we do that, then Joe Biden's sinking poll numbers is going to change and flip the narrative with the help of the legacy mainstream media to say, look at these obstructionist Republicans. Mm-hmm. And they're hoping that they'll put some wind in his sails for the November election. And, you know, the prior speaker made some agreements that Mike wasn't privy to, and he's just trying to get us through the muck. So sometimes I don't vote with Mike, but yeah. I support Mike because I know once we give him that full breath and that full term, he's going to do a fantastic job. He's the most conservative speaker we've ever had in our history.
Well, and I think some people don't understand. When you have a margin that is razor thin, mm-hmm. it already was, then George Santos gets tossed. Now Mike Gallagher of Wisconsin has decided
today, yeah.
he's going to leave in April, which not only will leave the House even shorter, Ken Buck is leaving from Colorado, but they're leaving and there's not going to be time to fill those seats. So, I mean, anybody that defects and you've basically turned the entire House over to the Democrats, that's not a good a good fit. I don't get that.
I think we have a moral responsibility to finish our terms, particularly when you have this kind of a razor-thin majority.
Yeah.
I thought we put country first.
Yeah.
Is what...
I agree with you. An audience does as well. But it does create a problem when, you know, I always said that the Rolling Stones were really great political scientists because they wrote that incredibly insightful political song, "You Can't Always Get What You Want." And, you know, people forget that you if you don't own the whole ball of wax, if you don't have the White House, the Senate, and a good majority in the House, you're not going to pass something. At best, you can be a backstop and keep something bad from happening. So I don't know what the expectations are that some people have that the Republicans are going to change Washington because it'll never go through the Senate. Joe Biden will never sign it. So you're going to have to play defense until we can send in some better folks over in the Senate, get rid of Chuck Schumer, send him to the back row, and send Joe Biden back to Delaware. It'll never happen.
No, you're absolutely right. In so much as we have this razor-thin majority in the House, and there's something called compromise.
Yeah.
Yes, I would like to get more wins, but we can't with Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer in the Senate is the obstructor of freedom and liberty. And Joe Biden in the White House. So what we need to do is unify as conservatives, right of center folks that believe that this country on balance is a plus and a positive for humanity and win the White House back. I mean, when I go knocking doors now, Governor, of course, I got a list of the people that typically vote. You've done it before. And best governor, by the way, ever. And
except the current one. The current one is probably better.
I have to do this. I do it now. The current governor of Arkansas. He's the best I've ever used to work with, you know. Incidentally, I can also do a Joe Biden impression. I've been working on it for you.
Okay, let's see.
Ready?
Well, don't worry. We will send someone to help you find your way off the stage. I know you want to keep up with Congressman Pat Fallon and his battle for border security and his ongoing work on the Oversight and Accountability Committee. You can do that. Go to Huckabee.tv. We have links directly for you to get to Congressman Fallon. Right now, speaking of links, Keith is going to link us to the rest of the show right now.
Well, Ron Hart is with us just after the break. Then get ready to laugh your socks off because comedian Kayvon is in the building. You're watching Huckabee.
Welcome back. Joining us now is a longtime friend of this show. I want you to welcome back humorist and syndicated columnist Ron Hart. Good to have you back, Ron.
Appreciate it.
We always have a great time when you show up. The thing is, we never know what you're going to say. And we're worried about it a lot of the time. We really are.
That's why you edit things.
That's exactly why we have editors who are standing by to protect us just in case. All right, let's start with this. Assess for us this year's presidential race.
You got a president who could probably save money for the White House by hiding his own Easter eggs right now, right? So you got, they didn't put him out there on the Super Bowl. You know, the first time ever, you know, 100 million people, audience. He didn't talk on the Super Bowl. He you know, deferred on that. But he said he would throw out the first pitch. So...
Some of the audience is just now catching that.
Stay with me.
Yeah.
This may go fast. But you know, it's kind of funny. You got an older guy who's losing it, and if he's your grandfather, you'd be fearful he would be taken by telemarketers. He's up against Trump, who probably owns a telemarketing firm. So I'm not sure he's going to win that battle, but they're trying to get Joe out there out in the world. He visited the tomb of the unknown soldier, made a speech, and said he knew the guy. You know? So whatever it takes. And he's, you know, they got about touring the country. That's election year. He's got to tour the country. He never gets out of Washington, the 47-year Washington guy. He's out there touring the country. One thing he did found remarkable, how many towns are named after their water tower? I mean, it's incredible. He asked his staff to look into that, but that's it. Yeah, he got a bunch of buffoons. And, you know, it's the world's on fire, crime, you know, Ukraine wars. I mean, it's a mess, and it's really of his own making. He's kind of a weak president. I don't know who's putting the words in the teleprompter right now. I'd like to know who that is.
Someone suggested that what they should do is turn the teleprompter screen around because we could read it better than he's reading it to us, and at least we would understand it.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe that would be better.
Yeah.
Donald Trump is faced, even with the ones that have been dismissed, he's still faced with 85 counts.
Right.
Criminal charges. I mean, this is unprecedented. You have the sitting president going after his political opponent. Is it helping Trump, hurting Trump, or indifferent?
Probably helping him, I'm guessing. You know, great monologue, by the way. That was a great piece you did. There's one case that they haven't looked at fully enough. There's a blockbuster in Illinois that found out he did not rewind his tape in 1988. So they're going to have the Chicago DA. Right now, Chicago doesn't have a case, right? So you got it's like the Olympics. You got to bid for it. Like, you know, okay, we're going to go after Trump. Chicago, where do you bid? You know, L.A., where do you bid for it? So, no, it's sad. And, you know, he has to raise money. He didn't make the payment that he had to make recently. You know, he did this sneaker thing, you know, the Trump sneaker. And not to be outdone, Hillary did one where she did cement shoes. Kind of a try to raise some money for her effort. But, you know, it is lawfare in the highest regard. The Colorado Supreme Court recently voted 5-0 to remove Bill Clinton's name from the Epstein Island list. So and we'll see if that gets overturned.
I mean, some of this stuff is funny, but, you know, the sad reality is we're looking at a country that we almost don't recognize from the one most of us grew up in.
Right.
Where there was equal justice. If you were committing a crime, it didn't matter where your politics were, you know, you were likely going to be charged.
Right.
The other guy was going to be charged, too, and it didn't matter.
I said a column recently, you know, here's a 79-year-old man who all of a sudden became a criminal.
Yeah.
Does that really happen? And then, you know, of course, Biden's in trouble, too, and they're both in trouble with the law. But I don't know if the law matters to him anymore. When you're 80 years old and you're looking at life in prison, it's not a big detriment. It's not quite what it is for most people to do that. You probably top in court 5 years and you die, maybe. I don't know. But, yeah, it's a whole weird system. I think most people see through it. Most people see this could be me.
Yeah.
I mean, they could come after
Absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely.
And the African-American vote in Atlanta, what happened to Fannie Willis in Atlanta? I lived in Atlanta for a long time. I thankfully moved out of there. It's a mess. Everything you hear about the DA office in Atlanta, double it. It's terrible. And the cities that they're going after him with, if Utah went after him for something, I would have more credibility, right? A fair jury, you know?
Yeah.
But these are all Soros-funded DAs who have a political ambition to go after him over very frivolous things. I mean, where's the victim up in New York of this loan thing?
Everybody made money.
Hunter Biden's artwork's $500,000, and Trump overvalues his assets? I mean...
Yeah, good point. Yeah. At the beginning, you mentioned some of the things that are going on in the world. Ukraine, the Houthi pirates taking over ships of friendly countries, and Haiti being run by cannibals, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, the Houthis, you know, the Somalian pirates are taking over ships down there. And, you know, these are our ships going through the canals down there. The Houthis are taking over. And Biden's vowed to get the Houthis. He's going to take it one step further. He's going to get the blowfish. He's promised to get the blowfish, too. So, you know, they got him wound up about this one. So, You know, it's, in Haiti, you know, you got gangs running Haiti. There hasn't been gangs running Haiti since the Clinton Foundation was down there. You know, it's been a long time. So you got cannibals down there. You got barbecue and all these. I mean, you can't make this up. All of a sudden, this country's run by the gangs that are cannibals. All of a sudden, the Donner Party is their political party name. And they
don't accept a lunch invitation from these people.
The State Department.
Not a good idea. Not accept
it. But it's a whole mess down there. And look, at the end of the day, that it shows you how fragile government can be, you know, in Haiti or any other country, that how quickly it can turn. And I'm fearful of our country right now. Like you said, I am very fearful that we're on the edge of something. And I'm concerned about the deep state and the things that they're doing. It'll be interesting to see what happens this election. I really hope the Republicans watch Detroit, Philadelphia, these polling places down there, make sure nothing happens bad there. But, you know, for the most part, hopefully the country's a right-of-center country. We're not represented well. There's such a, you know, 51-49% world we live in. And hopefully the right-wing people will get their act together on several political issues and win this time.
Well, keep your eye on everything, because we want to bring you back before the election at least once and talk about what's going on. And you can keep up with everything that's on Ron Hart's mind, not just when he's here, but his regular columns, which I read every week religiously. I need to read them religiously because Ron doesn't always write them religiously. So that's my job to put something spiritual in the reading of them. Yeah. His opinion pieces, stand-up appearances, and a whole lot more. You can keep up with him. We have links at Huckabee.tv. So go there, look for the link to Ron Hart. But we still have a lot of show to go. And Keith Bilbrey is about to tell us about it.
Well, coming up next, the extremely funny comedian Kay Vaughn performs. Then columnist and commentator Todd Starnes discusses his new book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, on Huckabee.
If you have never come to our show in person and been to the taping, one of the best reasons to do it, not only are you going to have a good time, but you're going to hear some of the best music in America from Trey Corley and the Music City Connection. Give them a big hand. My next guest bills himself as the most famous half-Persian comedian in the world. He's got millions of views online. He's appeared on Netflix, Last Comic Standing, and two dry bar comedy specials. He wrote the popular book, Once You Go Persian. And he's got a brand new book. It's called Once You Go Everywhere. Right now, he's right over there. Please welcome Kay Vaughn.
You guys are a great crowd. I'm excited to be here because I don't know if you know this or not, but for the last few years, comedians were labeled non-essential by a bunch of politicians. I was thinking the same thing about them the whole time. Not you, Governor. Not you, of course. It was really tough being labeled non-essential because I found out how low comedians are considered on that list. My buddy's a hairstylist. He was labeled non-essential. I said, let's hang out. He said, I can't. I'm busy. I said, how are you busy? We're both non-essential. He goes, women are getting illegal haircuts. Look at all these women. These are lawbreakers. And they were enticing him to do it. He didn't want to. They're like, please, I won't tell anyone. It'll be our little secret. I was so jealous. None of you ladies called me up. I was available. You'd be like, can you please come make me laugh? I won't tell anybody. Just say knock, knock. I'll say who's there. Didn't happen. So I lowered my standards a little bit. I've been flying a lot of low-budget airlines lately. Anyone ever flown the low-budget airlines? Have you? Yeah. For those of you who haven't, lower your standards a little bit, okay? Stop being annoyed with them. The flight was $19. What did you expect for $19? Okay? They're going to get you there eventually. That's the promise. When you sit down, it's going to be different. The way you sit, that's how you're going to be the whole flight. It doesn't recline, okay? You're going to be in this position. Armrest, they don't have them. You get a little nub of metal, you put your elbow in it. That's how you're going to sit the whole time. You're going to sit like this. So do a short flight, Seattle to Portland. You know, go from L.A. to Burbank. Don't fly from Los Angeles all the way to Florida. When you get off the plane, you're going to look like everybody else in Florida, okay? You go straight to Boca Raton. That's what you do. Those are not old people. They flew a low-budget airline. The next thing you got to look out for is the flight attendant. Stop messing with the flight attendants. They don't play. Most flight attendants come from the flight attendant training academy. These people come from the prison to work release program, okay? I walked on the plane once. The flight attendant was already yelling at this poor guy. She was just in his face. Say it again. Say it again. Watch what happens. I wish you would. And she was talking to the pilot. I just got on the plane and said, please don't say it again. We got to go, sir. Let's just... Unbelievable. And by the way, I don't think comedians are non-essential because we can tackle tough topics and we have solutions. Nobody ever asks us. I got solutions. Right now, we have a situation where there's men swimming against women in college sports. Now, I want to ask the crowd right now, how many people think there should be men's sports for men? Yeah? Women's sports for women? What do you think? And then we can have a little compromise. We can have a new category for the new category. I already picked out a name, the X-Men. It's either that or the Transformers, but we gotta pick out a name. I have solutions. Some people talk about diversity. Every company should have diversity. I know one company, almost no diversity, the NBA. Yeah. I was thinking, how do we get more minorities in the NBA? I'm talking about Latinos, Asians, Middle Eastern people. I figured out how. We could raise or lower the backboard depending which ethnicity is running to it towards the game. The band knows what I'm talking about. See right there? We know LeBron is very good. Not 10 feet. It needs to be 13 feet for LeBron, okay? But if a white guy's coming, 9 feet. Give us a little help. Asian? And if you're thinking, what about Latinos? Make it fence high. They'll get over it, okay? Now, I'm looking around. Some people don't want to laugh at that joke. I can assure you Mexicans love that joke, okay? I did it in Arizona. This guy came up after. He goes, that joke was hilarious, bro. But you're stupid. I would go under the court. Here's one we got to watch out for. Have you noticed there's a thing called the gender pay gap? And it goes both ways. No one's ever talking about it. There are some careers where men make less money than women. Yeah, it happens. I looked it up. The ballet. Male ballerinas, nobody's talking about it other than me. I'm here for you. Because those guys are suffering in silence. They're doing the same moves as everybody else. And they're getting half the pay. And I've been to the Nutcracker, but they're experiencing it, okay? It's a tough thing, man. And another thing, when I do these corporate events, these private events, and I love when you invite me out, I'll come do yours, but just don't get so sensitive about comedy. We're just joking. I had one lady, she was like, please don't talk about politics, okay? I don't talk about politics. I make fun of Joe Biden. It's different. It's different because I don't make fun of his politics. I make fun of how much he falls down. That's not political. That's gravitational. He does. He has fallen while running. He's fallen while riding a bike. If he falls in the water, that's a triathlon. And I tease Trump too, but I miss him. I miss Trump because those press conferences were amazing. Can we agree? The press conferences were amazing. The press conferences were fire because you never knew what he was going to say. Because he never knew what he was going to say. You know what Biden's going to say? It's on the teleprompter. He can't read it, but it's right there. Trump speaks right to us from his heart. He does it at a third grade level so everybody can understand at the same time. And I really liked it. Like, remember the Chinese spy balloon? It left China and it came here. And Joe Biden didn't find out about it till it was over Montana. By the time he got down to the Situation Room, they shot it down over South Carolina. That would have never happened under Trump. As soon as the balloon left Beijing, he'd be awake, 3 in the morning. What's happening? A balloon? I'm going to tell the people, bring the cameras, bring the fake news, get in here. I've just been told there's a great big balloon coming from China, folks. This is not a regular balloon. It's not a birthday balloon. A Chinese spy balloon. Horrible. One of the biggest balloons you've ever seen. Absolutely huge. It's absolutely fantastic, this balloon. We have very weak leaders. They're not popping the balloon. I would have already popped it by now. You put me up there, I'll pop the balloon. If we don't pop these Chinese spy balloons, next Mexico will send a spy piñata like you've never seen before. Believe me. You guys have been amazing. I'll be Kayvon. Thank you.
My God. Fantastic. Hey, I know you want to see more of Kayvon. I certainly do. If you want to see his tour dates, Dry Bar comedy specials, and his movie, Funny Thing About Love, and if you want to get this brand new book called Once You Go Everywhere, go to Huckabee.tv. We will connect you. You can bring him to your community, your organization, and you'll have as much fun as we've had here tonight. And we've had some fun here with Kayvon tonight. So give him a big hand while Keith tells us what's next on the show.
Well, author Todd Starnes is next. Then country music sensation Ally Colleen takes the stage. That's still ahead on Huckabee. TV and get your very own made in the USA Huckabee mugs, t-shirts, and more.
And welcome back. Todd Starnes is a best-selling author. He's a radio host, one of the most influential voices in Christian and conservative media today. He also has one of the most popular conservative websites that's on the internet. His latest book examines a question that a lot of us are asking. It's called Twilight's Last Gleaming. Can America be saved? Please welcome back to the show a good friend. We used to go on the subway up to Harlem and eat barbecue when we were both at Fox News. Please welcome Todd Starnes. Welcome back, Todd.
Thanks, Governor. Great to be here.
I don't think either one of us would get on the subway and go to Harlem these days, would we?
Yeah, no, not at all. But I've got to tell you, I'm really troubled. My spirit is troubled, Governor, and this is why I wrote the book. We've got a problem in Memphis, and it's not the crime. It's not our George Soros district attorney. Turns out our local rib joint is now serving dry rub tofu.
No way. No way. Are you in Memphis?
In Memphis.
It's a sacrilege.
And it doesn't matter how much barbecue sauce you put on it. It just seems to grow the longer you chew it. It's like a sponge. It's really troubling.
I mean, that should be a criminal offense in Memphis, Tennessee.
It's heresy.
To serve tofu and call it barbecue.
Culinary heresy, Governor. Absolutely.
So I want to get into this book because one of the things you're talking about is restoring normality. What even does that mean anymore?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I actually start the book off with that story about the barbecue tofu, just to explain the cultural changes that we're seeing all across America. And Twilight's Last Gleaming, it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of humor tucked into this. But the reality is we have seen a massive shift in our culture and in our traditions. And really the call to action in this book is for us to get back to the faith of our fathers, to yeah. get back to the traditions that made this country the greatest nation on the face of the earth.
You know, one of the things I've loved about... Give him a big hand. I agree with that. One of the things that I've always loved about you, you're very descriptive, incredibly creative. Your books are always written with a certain Southern charm. I mean, anybody will love your book, but if people have grown up in the South, they're going to just fall out of their chairs laughing because they'll be able to identify with a lot of the cultural references that you have. And I think it's one of the charms of this book. You brought up something that I didn't know about. Cracker Barrel is now serving plant-based meat, which is not meat.
And yes.
I mean, whoever thought Cracker Barrel would need to satisfy the vegans? I don't know.
Which is why they're serving booze to cover up the plant-based meat. Yes, the chapter is called Dixie Has Done Gone Woke, and it's sad, but you know, there is a lot to really be depressed about. And I get these calls all the time on the radio show, and people are truly, they have anxiety, and I get it. We're living in some crazy times right now. But you know, Ronald Reagan, and I got the title from a Reagan speech. Reagan said, it's interesting about our national anthem. It doesn't start with a declaration. It starts with a question. Is the flag still there? Mm-hmm. And remember what Reagan said in a later speech, that our freedom is not passed along in the bloodstream. Every generation has to fight for freedom. And that's the question I pose in the book. Are we fighting for freedom?
Mm. And what's the answer to that question?
Well, I think the answer is yes. You know, Gen Z, I was just out in California at the Reagan Ranch Center and got to speak to a lot of high school kids who are conservative, they're Christians, and they believe America is worth fighting for. And this book is for them as well as their moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas. So I think we're at a point now, really an inflection point, I think, in American history, where we have to decide, are we going to stand up to the communist infestation in our country? Because that's what it is. You can call them progressives, leftists. I call them old-fashioned communists.
You know, you mentioned something in the book that I think is very important. You talked about the moment at which we had a president, the first ever in history, that would not declare that America is a Christian nation. And I don't mean by that everybody goes to church, everyone's a Christian, but that it had Judeo-Christian foundations. When did that happen, and what was the impact of it?
Well, that was Barack Obama, and when he promised to fundamentally transform America, I'm not sure people really understood what he meant by that or the implications of that transformation, and that's what we're seeing right now. There's no such thing as absolute truth in America, and I illustrate this in the book. I talk about going to, you know, everybody has their own truth these days.
Yeah.
So I went down to a jean store in Memphis, and I ended up walking into a skinny jean shop, and I immediately got profiled. They said, sir, you know, you probably want another jean store. And I said, how dare you? How dare you? I said, I identify as trans slender. So. Now, that may be my truth, Governor, but I'm not getting my big toe in one of those skinny jeans. I'm just telling you.
You know, the book is great. I hope people will get it. Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? It is a question, but I think you, the reader, you have to be the one to answer it. It's filled with great insights that Todd has and his wonderful humor, as you've heard it here tonight, packed throughout the book. If you go to Huckabee.tv, you can get an autographed copy of the book. We'll tell you how, as well as find Todd Starnes' website and his newsletter. Speaking of news, Keith Bilbrey is going to give us a gleaming smile while he tells us the news of what's coming up on the show.
Well, don't go away. Country singer Allie Colleen performs right after the break. Huckabee next week for singer Morgan Miles and the mind-bending magic of the Conjurers.
Welcome back. Tonight's musical guest is an Oklahoma native who's had a passion for singing and songwriting since a very young age. Her first radio single made country music, and the music rose top 30. And she recently released her debut album. It's called Stones. Wide Open Country named her their artist to watch for 2020. She was one of Music Mayhem's 21 country artists to watch in 2021. Tonight, you get to watch her right cheer, as we say. I want you to welcome Allie Colleen. Allie, welcome. You're one of those few people that not only sing the songs, you write the songs.
What an honor, right? Isn't it pretty rad?
It's perfect because
how I spend
you
my
have
day.
Passion about what you're singing because you wrote it.
It's just, it's a privilege, right? I spend my life and my time just creating narratives, and characters for people. And sometimes the character's me and sometimes it's not, but it's the coolest thing I've ever done. And, this town's really cool, but I've been writing songs since I was 8 years old.
Eight? What was the first song you ever did? What was the
name? It was horrible. It was so bad.
You mean it's not going to be on your next album, huh?
No, it's not. It is not a knot. But it was something like, I think when I really looked back at it, when I got a little older, I think I stole every line from another song. Like, not knowing it, but I'll go back and listen to, like, Joni Mendoza's songs.
Well, if this doesn't work out, you've got a career in politics because every speech has been stolen from someone else. It's called plagiarism, Allie. Obviously, the passion is there. You went to Belmont University here in Nashville.
I did.
There's two alumni here from Belmont. But it's probably the premier, I would say the premier school in the country to learn the music business, not just the music. I mean, there's Juilliard and there's Berklee Music and all. But to learn the broad spectrum of it, there's nothing like Belmont.
The curriculum at Belmont is absolutely outstanding. And the fact that you have, professors teaching you that also have charted on radio and things like that is wild. But I think one thing that was my favorite thing about Belmont is, I still to this day walk into offices all around this town and see my classmates. You know what I mean? So this whole town is based off of networking. So it's an incredible privilege to spend that time growing up together. And now there isn't really a wheelhouse in the industry where I need something where I can't call somebody and be like, hey, how does this work in your world and how can I work it into mine? You know what I mean? So just like the community of Belmont was also absolutely incredible.
I think after you sing tonight, which is what you're about to do, there are going to be a lot of people downloading your songs and streaming them.
Please.
We want to make sure of that, but we can't do it if you don't do the music. So I'd love to talk with you for another hour, but I think it's time to go do some music. What do you think?
I would be honored.
All right, let's do that. All right, Keith, while we get set up for Allie to do some music with us, why don't you tell the viewers how they can get more of the music of Allie Colleen?
Just go to Huckabee.tv and we'll connect you to her website, tour dates, her debut album, Stones, and her brand new single with Lee Bryce, While We're Still Friends. Now, performing that song with Trey Corley and the Music City Connection and Mike on bass, here's Allie Colleen.
If only we could stop this moment. Forget the clock, pretend it's broken. And by the way, you look great tonight. Looking and they never know it, but we both know where this is going. We don't wanna say goodbye. So while we're still friends, while we're still here, before the last thread of us forever disappears, before we let go, give me your hand. Let's make the most love what we can while we're still friends. Remember our first trip to Austin? I took you to your favorite concert, and I can still hear you laugh. So while you got your arms around me, why don't we make one more memory that feels just like that?